Welcome to the Quality Improvement Methods Unit. This unit is from the Fundamentals of Health Workflow Process Analysis and Redesign component. In two parts, this unit covers quality improvement methods recommended for use in the healthcare setting. Many different approaches to quality improvement have been used in the healthcare arena. The workflow analyst will encounter organizations and people with experience with a multitude of proven methods and fads. Thus, an awareness of the history, methods, and tools of quality improvement is critical. This unit introduces students to these elements of QI as well as categories of mistakes seen in quality improvement. It is not intended to teach the student how to use these methods and tools. Component 12 teaches the students how to implement a quality improvement project in the healthcare setting. Upon successful completion of this unit, the student will be able to describe strategies for quality improvement, describe the role of leadership in quality improvement, describe the local clinic improvement capabilities, describe and recommend tools for quality improvement, and compare and contrast the quality improvement methodologies and tools and their appropriate uses in the healthcare setting. Topics covered in this unit are foundations of quality improvement, methods for quality improvement, tools for performing quality improvement, a culture of quality improvement, and mistakes in quality improvement. Remember, the IOM defined quality of care as the degree to which health services for individuals and populations increase the likelihood of desired health outcomes and are consistent with current professional knowledge. Quality improvement is a method for evaluating and improving processes of patient care, which emphasizes a multidisciplinary approach to problem solving and focuses not on individuals, but systems of patient care, which might be the cause of variations. Quality improvement methods can be used to improve health outcomes of all types and sizes. Some examples of quality improvement projects are redesigning a clinical office, reducing the time for patient intake, and redesigning the information flow in a laboratory. The Putting Quality into Practice video series emerged as part of a larger project that documented physician engagement in quality improvement projects. The series demonstrates the effects of workflow, resource and system reviews, electronic medical records implementation, and other quality improvement efforts on a practice. In this video, physicians describe their quality improvement processes, including motivation and first steps, systems, measurements and tools, external resources, and barriers and solutions. This series is an 8-part series that plays in a loop. There is approximately 60 minutes of video. The series was produced by the ABIM Foundation, a nonprofit organization. Pause the slides and listen to the video. Pause the slides now. In the National Roundtable on Healthcare Qualities, the Urgent Need to Improve Healthcare Quality, the Institute of Medicine highlighted the deficiencies in the U.S. healthcare system. This is the ultimate improvement project and the reason for the current emphasis on health information technology, implementation, and process improvement. An example of this in action is the Duke Databank for Cardiovascular Disease, created through the vision of Dr. Eugene Stead, chair of the Duke Department of Medicine from 1946 to 1967. His vision was that the computer be used hospital-wide as a computerized textbook of medicine, replacing a doctor's fallible memory of how to treat a condition or disease with the computer's infallible memory of each patient treated in the hospital. The databank also eventually became useful in clinical trials under the leadership of Dr. Rob Califf. In a keynote address presented at the Texas Heart Institute Symposium, Evolving Standards in Cardiovascular Care, What Have We Learned? Where Are We Going? On November 12, 2005, Dr. Califf added three major key concepts to the thinking of the cycle of bench to bedside for performance measures. I quote, "First, we do the clinical trials. Then we develop guidelines from what the clinical trials showed. Clinical practice guidelines, if properly constructed, provide the evidence to show which of our options is most effective in a particular clinical situation. Then, in order to be sure that we are exercising the best option, we have to be able to measure what we are doing. And finally, we close the loop by providing education and feedback to the practicing community. If we are successful in all of this, outcomes can improve." Close quote. He presented key concepts as you see from the table. The first is that quality is a measurable entity. The Institute of Medicine has defined quality in terms of six dimensions. Is it safe, effective, timely, patient-centered, efficient, and equitable? It's no longer enough to provide quality in your own individual clinic universe, because that universe overlaps other areas. Patients are exposed to a variety of practitioners and environments during an episode of care. So the responsibility for quality includes proper coordination across practices. The second concept is safety. With safety now defined in terms of freedom from error, errors are definable and measurable. An error is defined as having the wrong plan or failing to execute the right plan. The third concept is something that is really being stressed by the Institute of Medicine: accountability. Obviously, we must have systems in place to document that we are doing the right thing. And this brings us back to the need for efficient and accurate health information technology systems. Goethe, considered by many to be the most important writer in the German language and one of the most important thinkers in Western culture, stated that knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Quality improvement enables us to move from the knowledge that the 1999 Institute of Medicine report estimated that 98,000 or more people die annually in the U.S. due to medical errors, to doing the improvement which must be done. In this lecture, it is important to focus on where we are in the process redesign. In previous lectures in this component, or by some other means, you have been introduced to concepts and practices that will enable you to identify and document the processes in a healthcare setting, collect and analyze information about processes in that healthcare setting, and redesign the workflow processes and streamline this redesign. Quality improvement methods and tools introduced in this unit will enable you to collect and compile on an ongoing basis, analyze the information for root causes, make decisions on how to eliminate these problems, i.e. process improvement, change processes based on this analysis and redesign, and set timetables for these steps. For purposes of this class, we will review a limited number of quality improvement methods and tools that the analyst may encounter in the healthcare setting. We will briefly compare and contrast the quality improvement methodologies and tools and their appropriate uses in the healthcare setting. In 2004, Stephen Shortell likened the U.S. healthcare system to a shoddily constructed building located in the pathway of an impending natural disaster, and many have noted in the last few years that quality can be improved in the healthcare setting by understanding the foundations and methods of quality improvement. The analysts are likely to see many of these as they move through the healthcare arena. It is important to recognize what they are and where to find additional information. It is not the intent of this lecture to teach one how to perform quality improvement. Three of the primary thought leaders who form the foundation of quality improvement are Walter Shewhart, W. Edwards Deming, and Joseph M. Duran. In ensuring the reliability of the national system of telephone exchanges and the production of telephones, Shewhart used his knowledge of statistics to design a tool, the control chart, in 1924 to guide change actions in response to statistical variation. His other contributions included operational definitions, ensuring that common operations were used to define what was measured. Deming, also a statistician, used his knowledge gained from working with Shewhart and others to develop a theory of improvement and a system of profound knowledge in the 1970s. He described this system as an understanding of four components. 1. Variations, Shewhart's influence. 2. The theory of knowledge. 3. Appreciation for a system. And 4. Psychology and the interactions between the components. Later, Deming described the Plan, Do, Study, Act, or PDSA cycle for improvement, which can be traced back to Shewhart. This concludes the first of two lectures for the Quality Improvement Methods Unit. You may go on to the second lecture or stop and return to the second lecture at a later time.